Yeah. What's happening, Dr. Tree?
you know what time it is, Rob?
Pump up the music, man. It's time to talk some sports. We got NFL to get to.
United Duster Radio. What?
Your time is up, my time is now.
Got NFL draft talk for y'all tonight.
Yeah.
We got NBA talk tonight, people.
I love it. Welcome, of course, to Talking Sports with the 12 Men. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford. Looking forward to a spectacular night of Talking Sports. Today is Wednesday, April the 18th, and for everyone that wants to call in, you know the number, 424-243-9519, and obviously at Twitter with at 12mansports.com. We've got a packed show tonight. Rob, what were you yelling out in the intro? What were you talking about, sir?
Oh, we got some NFL schedule to rehab here, and we also have NFL draft, NBA talk to get to. We're going to talk about the
Yeah, and for those that are saying, you know, Rob is traveling with us. I give him a lot of credit for joining in, too. He is traveling on the road, so I know that he's kind of going in and out. We'll definitely take care of him. But let me go into the table. Let me set the table for those that are checking in. Rob, you're kind of going in and out real quick. Hopefully we get you in a good area there. But just to real quick set the table, we're going to talk about some highlights of the NBA schedule release. It just happened this Tuesday. Robert Ford has his mock draft. This is version 4.0. We're going to talk about Kentucky starting five. All of them are leaving for the NBA. Is that good for the college? Is that better for the program? We don't know. And obviously, we're going to talk about some NBA updates and a lot of the hot teams. So, Rob Ford, let's make sure that you sound a little bit better, sir. How's it going now? You in a better area over there, sir? Is Rob still with me? All right, I don't know if I can hear him right now. But for those that let's go ahead and set the table here. Talk a little bit about a lot of things as far as the highlights of the NFL schedule release. And this is pretty big because, I'm not sure if you guys know what's going on, but it looks like the NFL definitely wants to get Peyton Manning out with the Denver Broncos. They have a ton of primetime games. Obviously want to get Peyton back in the forefront there. I took the chance to kind of highlight a couple games that I thought are pretty extensive coming into the season. And like I said, for those who want to call in and definitely give your thoughts about some good key games, you know, obviously being me in a talking band, I'm not going to be too talking biased, but a lot of good games here we're going to talk about. So first and foremost, let's talk about week one. And this is kind of this could be a playoff preview. And I think this is the game that we were all looking forward to last year but didn't happen. It's the San Francisco 49ers versus the Green Bay Packers. This is a pretty big game in week one. So you're going to start off right with a big game coming right into the season. I think that's pretty big. Obviously, for those that, you know, want to see what's going on, kind of if the 49ers are kind of the real deal, this is going to be a good game for them coming out of the season. And I'm sure if you're Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure you're not happy with the last game that you guys played versus the Giants. So this is a good game to kind of prove your mettle, if you will. So, obviously, with the draft coming up, there's going to be a lot of key moves for the Packers. And obviously, like I said, if you're the 49ers, you've made some key additions with adding Randy Moss, adding some key crucial pieces. Is Alex Smith going to be the quarterback there? That's going to be another question. And so you're kind of keeping an eye on what's going on with that. So I think that's a pretty big game coming right out the gate. Week five, this is a pretty good game, and I'm kind of skipping over because obviously we don't have too much time to talk about the key games. But there's a pretty big game that's going to be Denver at New England. Now, obviously, as we mentioned earlier, it seems like the NFL is trying to get Peyton Manning the best primetime games they can get. So right now you have coming out the gate, seems like New England has been a pretty big nemesis for Peyton Manning in the past. And now he's got a new team, obviously, with the Broncos. So if you're Peyton, this is a pretty big test for you. And obviously, same thing is going to happen, as I mentioned earlier, as far as draft. What is Denver going to do in this draft? Are they going to add a couple more pieces? Or are they going to, you know, obviously, they've been pretty stout defensively. So right now we're kind of figuring out what team does Peyton have with him as he goes into week five. At that juncture, they're thinking that he's going to give him enough weeks to kind of get familiar with the offense, get familiar with the players that he has there. You know, obviously, Willis McGahee, is he going to be doing his thing as a running back there? What's going to happen? So I think this is a pretty good game. It's kind of midweek in the season, you know, obviously, so it's going to be a pretty big game for them. Week 9, this is a pretty good game that I think is good, and I've got Carolina at Washington, and this is pretty interesting, too. And Rob Ford is back online. Rob, how you doing, sir?
Doing great. Sorry for the technical difficulties. As Andre may have mentioned already, I'm traveling, so I'm trying to do the show on the road tonight, so sorry about the difficulties. Bear with us.
You just missed some boring talk with Drake going over some key matchups, and I just went over a couple ones that I thought were pretty good. I started off with San Francisco at Green Bay, week 5, Denver at New England. I was just jumping into week 9, Carolina at Washington. So I don't know if you want to kind of talk about your thoughts before I talk anything more about some couple of big matchups for the release. And obviously I was talking about how I think the NFL wants to get Peyton Manning out in the forefront with the Denver Broncos.
Yes, the Denver Broncos is loaded in primetime games this upcoming season. That's the power of Peyton Manning. He definitely sells. You know, advertisers love him. And so in first weekend of the season, they have the Sunday night opener in D.C., Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh. That's definitely a game to watch for. Should be a big one. And I think all eyes are going to see, you know, just how Peyton Manning is looking in that first game against a, you know, high-quality defense in Pittsburgh. Also, the first weekend of the season, the season is kicking off on a Wednesday night this year because of the Democratic National Convention. This kicks off on a Thursday, and Barack Obama will be speaking on Thursday night. So the season is kicking off on a Wednesday night. Dallas at the Giants, a divisional game to kick off the season. The league normally doesn't like to do that, but they're a big division game for the Giants at home. And as we know, defending Super Bowl champions have never lost that opening kickoff game. I think we have been doing that for about 8-9 years running. The first Monday night of the season, you know, the NFL has been doing a doubleheader, doing that again this season. Cincinnati at Baltimore, San Diego at Oakland. And the first Thursday night game of the season, the second week of the season, Chicago at Green Bay. That should be interesting as well. Jay Cutler, Brandon Marshall, going against Green Bay. That's the oldest running rivalry in the NFL right now as we speak. So that should be kind of interesting. And I don't always want to harp on my Saints, but one interesting thing I found with the Saints schedule here is Joe Vitt, as you know, who's the interim head coach for the Saints, he suspended the first 6 games of the season. But the Saints play 5 games, then they have a bye, and then they come back and play their 6th game against Tampa Bay. So actually, Joe Vitt won't be reinstated until after 7 weeks. So the NFL didn't get through the Saints any more favors with that. I think the Saints were hoping that they can get the first 6 games out of the way, then have a bye, so Joe Vitt can come back with 2 weeks to prepare. And I believe your Falcons have a 4 primetime games. And the Saints also has 4 primetime games. They'll host Philadelphia on a Monday night. Also, they will travel to Atlanta on a Thursday night game, the Thursday night after Thanksgiving. And the Saints will also host the Chargers on a Sunday night game as well. So some interesting games if you want to go over the Falcons in primetime. Two other games I'll mention real quick. We have some international games. St. Louis going to play New England in London. And Buffalo hosting Seattle and Toronto as the league is continuing to try to get more global exposure. But, yeah, if you want to go ahead and also flex scheduling starts week 11, and that will go from week 11 through 17.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And just to comment, obviously, you know, we're big Saints and Falcons fans. So, obviously, I'm a Falcons fan. So, you know, obviously our first game, our home opener, is going to be that Monday night, September the 17th versus the Broncos. So that's going to be a pretty big game for us. You know, obviously seeing the newly rebuilt Peyton Manning and his Broncos. As mentioned, we also we have a pretty big game, obviously, against New Orleans on that Thursday night, so that's a pretty big one as well. And they showed us some love, too. We've got a nice Saturday night game with Detroit, and then we have another, I think another Thursday night game in there somewhere, too. Those are, we have 4 games as well, so it's pretty big for us to have a good little showing. And, you know, obviously with you hear some rumors about us being on HBO's Hard Knocks. So another exciting thing for us if you're a Falcons fan, too. So They haven't really accepted yet, but, you know, obviously we're keeping an eye on that situation to see if that's a good opportunity for us. And also we have a pretty big game, a Sunday night game versus the Cowboys, and that's Sunday, November the 4th. So those are the big games for us. And it's going to be a very exciting season, obviously, coming in. But as I mentioned earlier, Rob, it seems like the NFL is definitely the power of Peyton Manning is on full effect. There's a couple other games I want to mention real quick before we jump into your mock draft. And still, for those who want to call in, please give us your thoughts, 424-243-9519. And don't forget to tweet us out to us as well. But real quick, for those who are checking in, Rob, you may have to get your phone real quick, Rob, real quick. For those who want to check in as far as some other big games, I got Carolina at Washington. And this is Cam Newton versus RG3. You want to talk about that, Rob, as far as any thoughts as far as this key matchup as well with kind of the young gun going against the sophomore guy in Cam Newton? I don't know if we lost Rob or not. I'm going to put him on hold real quick just to make sure he's all right.
Okay, I think you were referring to the Carolina against Washington. I think that should be a very intriguing matchup. Cameron Newton, of course, he's Robert Perker, so you expect Carolina.
And hopefully we'll catch Rob again in that one. There we go. Go ahead.
So I'm not sure it's going to work out, but I expect your line.
I got you. So it seems like he's dropped once again. So I guess we'll get his thoughts as he tries to tweet that to him a little bit later. Another pretty interesting game right after the Carolina and Washington game is the Week 10 game with Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Now, this is an interesting game that I put on the docket because this is pretty big. This is a Thursday night game, and you have Andrew Luck versus Blaine Gabbert. And the reason why I circle this game is because, you know, if you're Jacksonville, you're kind of figuring out, is Blaine Gabbert the answer? I know it's kind of early in the season because obviously we know what Luck can do. I think he's a great prospect and everything like that. Him and RG3 are probably the best two guys coming out this year as far as quarterbacks. This is going to be a pretty big game as far as where each of these quarterbacks are. So, obviously, if you're Andrew Luck, it's kind of near the end of the season. Maybe you're becoming, you're kind of hitting your stride, if you will. And if you're Blaine Gabbert, you're trying to prove everyone that you were kind of worth that high pick that Jacksonville did for you. So, obviously, the former offensive coordinator for the Falcons will be coaching. Mike Mularkey is trying to figure out how he can incorporate Blaine Gabbert, and hopefully they'll add some weapons and kind of see where they're at with that. And obviously we'll talk about the last game with Robert as he comes through too. But anyway, we've got about 60 minutes left in the show, so real quick I'm going to jump into Rob Ford's mock draft. This is his 4.0 version, and this is pretty interesting too. And for those that want to check this out, I'm actually going to post this to Facebook a little bit later on to obviously get some more feedback on this. But this is pretty interesting too because it seems like in this mock draft we have a lot of interesting pieces that are going to be moving around. And first and foremost, you know, there's no brainer about the first two picks. And I'm just going to highlight, I guess, the top 10, if you will, because we'll be here talking all night as far as the key other pieces. But some interesting things that he had was Matt Khalil, the offensive tackle of USC going to Minnesota. And this is another interesting pick in with Cleveland taking Trent Richardson, the running back from Alabama, followed by Tampa Bay taking Morris Claiborne from LSU. And if this is, and obviously, if you're St. Louis, you're happy about this because that means Justin Blackman falls right into your lap. You don't have to worry about trading up. Number seven, you've got Jacksonville taking Melvin Ingram, the defensive end from South Carolina. And wrapping up that, we've got Miami taking Ryan Tannehill, quarterback of Texas A&M, which everyone kind of thought this was going to happen. There are some rumors as far as Cleveland moving up, but at this juncture, that's too high for Ryan to go. And number nine, we've got Carolina taking Fletcher Cox, the defensive tackle out of Mississippi State. And rounding out the top 10 with Buffalo taking Riley Reiff, the offensive tackle from Iowa. A couple of things I'm going to jump down here because if you're Cleveland, and I've been looking at a lot of mock drafts, and it seems like we were thinking that Cleveland was going to draft a quarterback within the first round, but apparently a lot of mock drafts have them not taking them. They have them taking, and this is the same thing with Robert. He had them taking the defensive end. Some people have them taking quarterback. Some people have them taking wide receivers. And they don't really have them addressing the quarterback until later on. And I was kind of wondering why that was the case. And I'm thinking that if you're looking at Cleveland, if you're a Cleveland fan out there, and we're talking about the mock draft as we get Robert back on the 4.0 draft, and if you're looking at Cleveland, you're kind of figuring out why are they kind of waiting to take a quarterback. So maybe they're trying to kind of see if Colt McCoy is the answer, if you will. Or like you said, it seems like they're going to draft a quarterback later on as far as and either by round three, maybe Kirk Cousins, maybe Brock Urlacher from Arizona State. Not really sure what's going on with that, but some interesting thoughts to think about as we move on as far as the mock draft. And for Rob, for those, I was kind of talking about the first top 10 picks that you had in your mock draft. And I've looked at a lot of drafts, and it seems like no one is having Cleveland taking a quarterback in the first round. So I'm not sure what you thought about that and kind of what your thought process was behind that. Are they that secure with Colt McCoy, or is it something kind of different? Or kind of give me your thoughts as far as your mock draft, if you will.
Well, there's only three quarterbacks in this draft that has a first-round grade. So there's only three quarterbacks that is worthy of being taken in the first round, and there are four teams that need quarterbacks. So one of these teams is going to be left out, and it's either going to be Cleveland or Miami. Cleveland has to decide, are they willing to take a risk and take Tannehill at number four? That's a decision that they have to make within the organization. And knowing Mike Holmgren's track record, he does not reach for quarterbacks. Even the year they took Colt McCoy, there were other quarterbacks that they could have taken prior to McCoy. And he has a history of not reaching for quarterbacks. And I believe he's just going to wait until he can get the guy that he wants. And he's just going to try to build the team around McCoy for the time being until he can get the quarterback. So I still believe Tannehill falls to number eight. There's maybe a few people around. I think Cleveland may take a chance on Tannehill. I don't believe that as of right now.
Gotcha. Now, what do you think about some other picks as far as, you know, I know that you had Trent Richardson going number four. I think that's a pretty good pick, too. I think if you're Cleveland, you're kind of jumping up and down because you get an impact running back. Obviously, Peyton Hillis is no longer there. You think he's going to literally come in and kind of be the starting back there for Cleveland?
Yeah, I think Trent Richardson can start from day one. This guy can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run it between the tackles. He can run it to the outside. And also, a guy is a very quality blocker. I mean, he's an all-around back. You know, there's some people that may not believe in taking a running back this high in the draft, but there's very few running backs that are worthy of being taken in the top five, and Trent Richardson is one of them. I mean, the guy is a beast. He runs hard. He breaks tackles. Like I said, he can run between the tackles. He's got a great all-around game. He actually can be a Marshall Faulk-type running back and even be bigger, which is unheard of.
Yeah, I thought that was a good pick, too. Anything else you want to highlight as far as your 4.0 mock draft? Before hopefully we'll cut you off. We got about 12 minutes or so on the show, so I kind of want to get your thoughts on anything else you want to talk about before we move on to Kentucky's starting five.
Well, I would just say to any listeners out there, if you want to get some information on where you think your teams may go in the draft, you know, feel free to call us 424-243-9519. We can go into a little bit more details about the draft with your particular teams. I would just say, guys that are climbing the draft board, watch this kid, Chandler Jones, defensive end from Syracuse. You know, this guy maybe a month ago was looking at being a third-round pick. Now he may be a top 20 pick in the first round. Now I have him going to Chicago playing with the Bears, you know, to be a defensive end outside of Julius Peppers. So there's a few guys that are climbing the boards, but, you know, if you want to find out what certain players may be going in the draft, please feel free to call us so we can kind of give you some information on that.
Yeah, we were talking about posting that to Facebook later on in the evening too, but very exciting, like I said, to see the mock draft. Definitely appreciate you, Robert, taking the time to fill it out too, man. It's always a pleasure to kind of look at that and kind of compare and figure out where we are. For the Falcons, real quick, I know you had us taking Bobby Nasse, I want to say, offensive tackle. Kind of some of your thoughts about him real quick for the Falcon fans like myself and kind of what you think. I know you had him playing a little for right and left tackle. We're looking more of a left tackle, but give us a quick little assessment about his talents, if you will.
He's a versatile big lineman, very athletic. He's about 6'6", 320 pounds, very light on his feet. He can play left or right tackle. probably can play right tackle year one, and he can eventually grow into his starting left tackle. I mean, this guy's very athletic. Can use a little bit more coaching, but the athletic ability is there. So you get with a great offensive line coach, this kid can be a solid starter in the NFL for 10 to 12 years.
I like it. And he also has taken Bruce Irving as well, defensive end from West Virginia. I don't know a lot about this cat either, so kind of, and this is the last one from Louisville, Kentucky. Kind of tell us a little bit about him and why he had us picking him.
Well, Bruce Irving is very light. You know, he's going to have to get in the weight room, get a little bit stronger, but he's quick off the edge. He's probably a guy that can come in and play right away, only on passing downs, not a guy that can come in and start, but he can help you get some pass rush. He's probably going to have to add about 20 more pounds of muscle to be an every down defensive end. But he's a guy that can probably help you out right away in pass rushing situations on third down. So, I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, teams are always looking for pass rushers. So there's going to be a value for him in that third round.
Gotcha. Good job. And like I said, this is what Rob does, man. He's like a, I think he's like a guru, man, over here. So if you want to call and get some feedback on a player you think as far as the draft and who you think would be a good fit, definitely call us in, and we're definitely looking forward to that. So 424-243-9519, and also tweet us at 12manSports as well. Rob, we got about 8 minutes. Let's go ahead and jump a little bit into, and I could talk NFL all day, but we're going to kind of table that for next week. But let's talk about the Kentucky starting five, and all five of them are leaving for the NBA. And I was going to pose the question: is that good for the? Is that good for college? Is that better for the pros? Kind of your thoughts, and then also we're going to do a quick little check-in as far as Chad Ford, who I call the Mel Kiper of the NBA. He's got all these Kentucky players going in within the top 30 picks of the first round, too. So kind of tell us a little bit about your thoughts as far as Kentucky and kind of, you know, a good decision for them, all of them leaving, and, you know, what's going on with that Kentucky program moving on after this.
Well, to answer your first question, is this good for the NBA? I will say no, and I don't think it's good for college basketball either. I think they need to come up with an agreement where kids have to stay in school at least 2 years instead of the one-year rule. And that way, I think fans get familiar with these players just a little bit more on the college level before they go pro. And I think these players can also develop and grow into becoming men and things of that nature. So I like the rule of, you know, hopefully they'll get something to work out where they can stay 2 years in college. To answer your next question, these players, you know, Kentucky's got another great recruiting class coming in next season. I mean, they're going to be fine. Kentucky's still going to be maybe a top 10 team in the country next season, even with losing these players. But under the current rule, if you're a lottery pick, I don't see why there's any reason for you to come back to school. And Anthony Davis is a surefire number one pick in this year's draft. So there's no doubt that he should be coming out. And I would love for my New Orleans Hornets to get him. I mean, he's the surefire number one pick in the draft. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, he's definitely a guy I think should come out in this draft. And he's going to be the number two or the number three pick in this draft, depending on what a team needs at two or three is. This guy is one of the most athletic, versatile players to come out of the draft in a long time. Great on-the-ball defender. The guy can create his own shot. He can get to the basket with ease. He's got a pretty good jump shot. You know, both of these guys are going to be either the top two or, if not, two out of the top three picks in this draft. Now, the other guys, Marquise Teague, I mean, he's a late first-round pick. That's a kid I would like to see come back to school.
Yeah, I agree.
If he's open around, he's not getting a contract. That's a kid I would like to see come back to school. Terrence Jones, you're probably looking at him somewhere between 15 to 20. I can still see him being a guy that could come back to school. I think you just have to be a lottery pick if you're going to leave early. And Lamb as well. I mean, he's going to be somewhere in that same category, 15 to 20 in the league. So, I mean, the other three guys are three guys that I would have liked to see come back to school. But Anthony Davis, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, excuse me, those guys are going to be two of the top three players picked in the draft. I mean, they have nothing else to prove on the college level under the current rules. So I think they made the right decision, but I would like to see the other guys come back. But there's a good chance that at least four of those five are going to be first-round picks. Marcus Teague, as of right now, looks like a late first-rounder, but he's still on the border.
Yeah, I agree with you about Marcus Teague, man. You know, I don't think he's a pure point guard. He's kind of, obviously, he's the younger brother of the Atlanta, current Atlanta Hawks, Jeff Teague. Very quick player, obviously. Can probably get to the rim. But like you said, I think he could definitely serve by staying the score, though, the year, you know, become even better, you know, at this juncture. He's not really he's not that much of a scorer just yet. I don't think he's as polished as Jeff, you know. But like I said, I think they're very similar in certain aspects, you know, him a little more quickness. You know, Terrence Jones, you know, 6'8 power forward, very, very versatile guy, man. Here's a guy you can plug in. He's going to do a lot of dirty work. He's, you know, capable of doing scoring, rebounding. Solid player, you know, blocking some shots too. So I think he's going to fit into more of a team that's going to use him as kind of a utility player too. But, you know, like I said, he could stay and kind of solidify his status too. Same thing with Deron Lamb. Now, you know, Lamb is a 6'4 shooting guard, so he's got long range ability as far as shooting wise. But, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, like I said, I agree with you as far as it may not be good for them to leave, but, it's just a situation where, you know, they figured, hey, we've already done it in college, let's move on to the next level. But, you know, I think the game's going to suffer, as you said earlier, too. So very, very interesting as far as that. I don't know if you want to say anything else about that. You got about 3 minutes to go in the show.
Yes, and Terrence Jones is a guy that's going to have to play a lot of small forward in the NBA. You're probably some minutes at the power forward position. These guys have
I agree wholeheartedly too. You know, but like I said, it's definitely there's going to be this will actually turn out to be a very, very deep draft. If for those that didn't know, Bradley Beal, he is a 6'4 shooting guard from Florida, just coming out. I mean, this dude is a dynamic player. You know, college. He's a freshman, but you know, a lot of comparisons to. I think they had a lot of comparison to they had like almost some people had like Brandon Roy type of character, just an explosive scorer, can play both the point and the shooting guard. A little undersized at 6'4", but this is a guy that he's all world talent and he's already got an NBA body. So this is a guy that he's been slated to be like definitely in the lottery. You know, as far as being a good pick too. I know some people had to go to Toronto, but. You know, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know if your thoughts about Mr. Bradley Beal, if you want to say anything else as far as anybody that you think would be a pretty good fit as far as any surprise people that are coming out, Rob. Yeah, Rob just dropped the call, but that's okay. Anyway, as we start wrapping up, we're getting close to the two-minute warning hit, if you will. And, you know, just some quick things as far as some more draft talk here. You know, obviously we're getting close to the NBA Finals, to the playoffs, if you will. And I'm going to get Rob back on the line real quick. Rob Ford?
Yes, apologize again for the technical difficulties as I'm traveling. So I promise you we'll have a better show next week. I'll be stationary and on the landline.
That's all right, Rob. Like I said, I know I had a challenge whenever you were going to be traveling, but we definitely want to keep the show, and that's a tribute to you. We got about 2 minutes left, Rob, in the show, and I was just kind of wrapping up and talking a little bit about anything else you want to talk about with kind of wrapping up the draft talk with Kentucky as we move on to jump into the playoffs for the NBA.
Well, really quickly, I'd like to preview the show for next week. You know, we are going to be next Wednesday will be the eve of the NFL draft, so we want to probably focus a lot on the NFL draft. And then we'll have a clear picture of the playoffs. NBA playoffs will be getting ready to start the following weekend as well. So next Wednesday show, we're going to be focusing a lot on NFL draft, NBA playoff predictions. Make sure you tune in next Wednesday, 11 Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. And for our friends in Hawaii, you know what time it is, 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. Make sure you all join us next week and apologize again for the technical difficulties tonight.
I love the fact that Rob gives credit to Hawaii. That's great. Yeah, like I said, next week is going to be pretty much strictly all about we're going to probably focus a little bit more about the show, probably 90% of the show about the NBA draft, which is, you know, like NFL draft, which is 2 days away from, or actually the next day away on the 26th too. So, yeah, join us in. Definitely, if you want to tweet us any questions as far as who you think would be a good pick for your team, let us know, you know, at 12th Man Sports. Call in at 424-24-9519. Look forward to talking to you guys next week. We're not going to do the OT because Rob is traveling, But next week we'll have the OT. We have a lot of questions, all that fun stuff. See you guys next week.
Good night, people.
Thank you for tuning in.